Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You might know her from the Broadway stage, where she starred in shows like Bullets Over Broadway, American Psycho, Grease, or as Glinda from the national tour of Wicked. Or perhaps you know her from Masters of Sex, Graves, Katie Keene, or my personal favorite, The Other Two, where I literally damn near peed my pants every week because honestly, there's a little Brooke Dubeck in all of us. She's a mama to an almost two-year-old son, and she's pregnant with another baby boy. Plus, she's one of the smartest and funniest people I know. So please welcome to the podcast, a mama we love, Helena York.
Uproarious applause. Woo! We're doing it.
Yes, we're doing it.
Chins now.
Oh, the joys of pregnancy.
I literally messaged with my dermatologist. I was like, my face is falling. And I don't know what's happening. She's like, it's pregnancy. We'll talk when he's out.
Yeah.
It's so funny how it's always, it's pregnancy. I said the same thing. I was like, my eyelashes are falling out.
It's pregnancy. I know. I've been like, why are my eyelashes dead? And now I'm obsessed with like things on Instagram, like all of the things I'm going to do to my face. And I was like, I guess I'm like cutting out all of my eyelid.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize we were all doing this, but like it looks fucking amazing. So yeah. I guess I'm doing that. But then I can't tell if it's just because like the Bobo isn't like holding my face together.
The Botox isn't toxing.
Same. It's not toxing.
It wears off quicker the older we get.
I'm like natch and healthy right now. I feel great, but I look like shit.
I really disagree.
Yeah.
Thought was, damn, you look refreshed. What is happening?
I did color my hair yesterday.
Well, you look
and
beautiful.
And the shiny hair.
Well,
there it is.
You do.
It looks beautiful. We like to ask everyone who comes on, how's your heart? Just like mom to mom.
Oh my
God. How's the heart feeling?
I mean, I gotta be honest, like having a second kid, during second trimester, I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck? First time I did this, I was so precious and now I could care less. Like it feels like I've just had maybe a big lunch. Like I forget that I'm pregnant. This is nothing. And then I hit third trimester and I was like, and during second trimester, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it a third time. Like that's where I was at. Like a couple weeks ago, I was like, you know what? You just crack it out the second time. It's really not a big deal. And then you hit third trimester and you're like, no. And now I'm at like peak anxiety about like, what do you mean two?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What and how?
Uh-huh. What and how is exactly right.
When and how?
Mm-hmm.
We feel that deeply.
Yeah.
Much anxiety over it. Yeah.
Because like everything occurs in like a very well orchestrated dance right now. And then I'm like, so then there's going to be another one. And like, where do they fit in? And do you also worry about this? I'm like, will I like them?
Yeah. Yes. Because I've been so sick this pregnancy and we might have to edit this out because I don't ever want her to listen back and hear me, but I'm like, she is a demon and she's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
And will that make me not like her when she comes out? I don't know.
I just like my son so much. Like I just, I'm kind of like, I mean, you're welcome humanity for this golden boy. Like, and then he's so marvelous. And I'm like, good luck, new guy. Like,
yeah.
Living up to this like perfect angel. I don't know what I mean, he is, you know, almost two. So he's doing things like pulling my hair and thinks it's hilarious. But like, other than that, he's the best person who's ever been born. So I don't know what to say.
Oh, I feel that too.
I agree. I want him to marry my daughter when they're older. We've already discussed this. Applications are in.
Get in line, girl.
I know.
Here is a stack. I have a stack of applications right here.
I believe it.
My heart is at peak anxiety, I'd say, to like how to do two. Oh, and then I had a checkup today and my doctor has two boys. And I was like, I don't know what this is going to be. And she's like, it's just so much easier. When you have your second, she says, you think about the time you had your first when you're like, I didn't even have time to shower. And you look at that former self and you're like, what a dipshit. Like, this baby is nothing. Like, I'm chasing this toddler around. Like, I can go shower. They can sit in this swing and like cry for 15 minutes while I do that. They'll be fine.
Yeah. Right. Right. Once you have the toddler who's running around and literally has a death wish, showers are way more tricky.
I still do the showers. He just wants to climb in with me.
Yeah. Dylan does a lot of watching me shower and I'm hoping.
Do you have a door?
We do. We do.
Like a door on the shower.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. A curtain.
Okay, we have a curtain. And I was at my parents' place for a month and they had a door for the shower. And I was like, this changes fucking everything.
I know.
Yeah. We have a door. It's nice. And she goes in a little pack and play right outside.
Yeah.
So and then she's, you know, the whole time. And I'm like, I'm coming. I'm just, you know, showering myself.
There's no jump scare quite like turning and seeing your kid just like peering in the curtain watching you shower. Get ready for that, Katie. It's special.
The other day I wear like almost exclusively onesies, like spandex onesies, pregnant. And so I get nude to go to the bathroom. And obviously my son is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, going to the bathroom. And he's like, I would love to come. And I'm like, do I have a choice? And he's like, no, I'm coming. And I'm like, okay, I'll see you there. So I get totally naked in front of my son. And then the other day he just pokes my nipple. Just like really slowly, just like pokes it.
Yeah. What do we do with that?
Giggles a little. And I was like, that's a booby. And he's like, booby. And I was like, that's correct.
That's right. Yes. Oh,
that's so real though.
So real.
So real.
I'm coming. I'm sorry. I would really rather you didn't. I'm coming. I don't know what to tell you, but I'll be there. I'll see you in there. Take your tits out.
Oh my God.
Party at the potty.
Oh, yeah. I told you, the funniest person I know. Alina, you are also one of the most fierce, strong, confident women I know.
Okay.
And I think it's so perfect that you are raising boys because I feel like we need these strong women to raise these boys. Right. So what kind of men are you hoping you bring up?
I actually had this conversation with a friend of mine recently who has a girl. And I was like thinking about the fact that like I was having two dudes and I was like, what do I do? And she's like, you just raise them to be like the man that you love. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I think about it. He's also just really lucky because he's got a dad who's like really chill and physically, I say physically affectionate, it sounds dirty and bad, but you know what I mean? Like he's
totally
very snuggly and sweet and patient with him and different in ways that are necessary, like yin to the yang. So I want him to be like my husband, but funnier because I'm funnier than my husband and more interesting because I'm more interesting than my husband. But other than that, the one thing I want to say about having boys, and you guys both have girls, I keep thinking this thing, like I look to my mother now that I'm a mom. Mm. And my mom has this like very special grandmother. She goes by privilege because she's I'm the mother and she's my mom. Mm. And she scares the absolute shit out of me. But like, there's just something about wanting your own mommy when you become a mom. And my mother-in-law is incredible. Like she's so present and hands-on and like, frankly, way nicer, but she's not my mom, you know? And so I think about this all the time. I'm like, my sons are going to marry some bitch and I'm going to get boxed out.
You won't get boxed out.
Never.
She's going to be like, I don't care about you. I want my mommy. I'm going to be like, okay, but you know, like I'm cool. And she's gonna be like, I don't care. I want my mommy. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I do feel like
I'm the bitch my husband married, is what I'm saying.
It's true though. We just want our moms. Like even in the hospital, I was like, I want my mom. Like I wanted my husband there, but I also wanted my mom there, and my husband couldn't fully like understand why she had to be there all the time. And I'm like, because I want her there.
Yeah.
She's my mom. And now I'm doing this thing that she did for me, and I understand her so much better now. Like when I went back to work, when I shot season 3, like 3 months postpartum, and my mom came and nannied for us for 3 months, because I was like not ready to, you know, worry about an employee or something. I was like, I would rather just have my mom. And now she's coming when he's born. It's just like, you know, and my sons are going to leave me. They're going to leave me. And I'm already thinking about it.
the true thoughts of moms coming out here. You bring up a really good point. You returned to the set of the other two very soon after welcoming your first son. What was that experience like? And what would you say to other working mamas who have to go back to work so soon postpartum? Like, that's hard.
Well, like, is it hard? I did not find it hard.
Really?
And not because it's not hard, like, sure, being a mom is hard, don't get me started, but like, I want to answer this thoughtfully, because I think it's really different for a lot of people. So I know somebody who works for Netflix, and Netflix gives you a year maternity leave.
Amazing.
And she was obsessed with that and wanted that and was like so happy to take that. And a lot of like, we literally looked through the breezeway at another couple who just had a baby, and we were like, damn, her maternity leave was 6 months, which we like clocked and knew because we are intimately acquainted with their entire lives. Like some serious like Rear Window New York City shit. And I look at it and I'm like, I would have disintegrated if I had 6 months at.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Home with a newborn, my postpartum experience was the loss of self and identity and autonomy. It's why I didn't really take to breastfeeding. I pumped to feed and I bottle fed because I found this insane feminist streak inside of me that was like, what do you mean I'm the only one that can feed him? You know?
I feel really
bothered. And I was like, he's got to suck on my body. Like, this is me. And I think what's tricky about like talking to other moms or even coming on and saying this is that you can get a lot of people like jumping down your throat being like, no, like this, whatever. And I'm like, whatever works for you is what works for you. This is just my experience. My loss of autonomy turned me into kind of this like withdrawn monster. And I asked for 3 months. Like that was what was so great about that job was that they were like, how much time do you want? And I was like, I think 3 months is good. And by the time it was time to go back to work, I like put my LV in a fucking cooler, REI cooler bag. And I would like pump with the transpo guy in the van on the way to set. And I would be like, I actually need a second. The titties are full. And, you know, and I just sort of did it and I really liked it. And I also felt very, you know, I liked pumping because it made me feel like, oh, I'm feeding my child and I'm like an active participant as a mom, whatever. But if that doesn't work for you, like I think formula is also fine.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think that there's so many hard and fast rules that people give themselves. And I think what works for you is what works for you. So yes, it is of course hard to go back to work and like, you know, have this little person who you've taken from raisin to potato and like leave, but I was still obviously around all the time. And my mom was here and I love working. I love working. Mm-hmm. So like what scares me more is that I don't know what my next gig is. And so I'm kind of like, when can I leave my potato? On that same token, I think we've also as a society sort of like rejected the stay-at-home mom. We've kind of put her in this box and we really judge her and we really are like, oh, you know, you decided to stay home. And I'm like, if you have a kid and you financially can, and you save a ton of money on childcare, by the way,
yeah,
and you stayed home, I think that that's incredible. If you're feeling it.
No, yeah, we talk about that all the time on here because there are things that you feel, but you aren't comfortable saying out loud as a woman, as a mom, as a working mom. Like we're supposed to maybe want to stay home and be with our kids, but it feels good to get back around adults and be doing the thing that you've worked at for years and years and years. And that's okay. And so many people are scared to say that. So I've always loved just how you stand in that and like you say it and you always say it so perfectly where I'm like, yeah, you just nailed it on the head. So I'm glad you said that because I think that resonates with more women than it doesn't.
I also like right now I'm not working and I sure did pay a babysitter yesterday so I could get my hair colored and walk around Flatiron eating a chocolate chip cookie. Like,
right. But that's self-care. Like those things, those moments to yourself, I think are so important.
Like the day where I'm full blown, I'm not as good. Like yeah. I'm just better because yep. of time I take for myself and also working.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's journey is different in the way people approach this and feel about it. Everyone is different. And I think like what you said, what works for them, that's great. Same with like breastfeeding versus formula. I did both. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, what we have to figure out what works for us and what makes us like the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah. I just think we put so much pressure on ourselves to like do things that maybe our mothers think we should be doing or friends of ours or like maybe like preconceived things we put on ourselves before we became moms that were like, I have to make this happen. And I just think like being able to let go of it and do something that works for you is the best thing. But by the way, like, people's opinions on this are so strong that it's actually like psycho.
Agreed.
Relax.
Yeah, yeah. Please relax. Yeah.
Take,
oh
take a beat. Eat a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. Treat yourself. Yeah.
Pay somebody an hourly so you can walk around flat iron eating a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. Helena, I have to say, when you got the job on the other two, I was so stoked for you for so many reasons, but a lot because you were going to be with Molly Shannon every day. And it feels like the two of you got this really tight bond. She was your on-screen mom. And I'm curious if you guys ever talked about motherhood on set and like what those conversations looked like, because she appears to be crushing it. Like, she just seems like the best mom.
She is the best mom. And we do talk about it. We did talk about it all the time. And she like launched two kids. They're in college now, and she had them back to back. They're 18 months apart. And she went back to work. She went and did Marie Antoinette, like right after her son was born, and brought the nurse with her and like wow. went to France and like shot that movie. But what I love about her is that she, without, you know, she is who she is on screen, and just, it's sort of just not a question to her to prioritize her kids and her family. But yeah, we've had a lot of conversations about it. It's also, it's really different in this business being a woman versus a man. And sometimes men, I think, especially dads, want to be like, I get it, girl. And I'm like, you fucking don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's really sweet that, you know, you're trying to empathize. Like, you certainly get it more than somebody without kids, but you know, there's just something about being the body from which this person comes. And like, there, you know, you can be married to the greatest guy alive, but you're still the mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, was it Amanda Seyfried too that said, you know, once she had a kid, she only even got viewed as being a mom after that. And I thought that was so interesting, because I think when you're a front facing on camera person and you're a mom, you are looked at differently in that way as well.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to reject that generally. I'm just like, I don't know. I think that there's so much more to every person. I mean, certainly in my life, it's like, so I don't want to say I reject it. It just like is what it is. It's like, you know, you can be seen as a mom but like, I don't see her as a mom.
Mm-hmm. We see her as so much more. We also see her as like all the roles she's been before. And I also wonder
if we tell ourselves all people see me as a mom, because like all we do is like spin and be like, all I am is a mom now.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's also just something we're telling ourselves, and if that's like a cycle that is worthy of breaking, if that makes sense.
It does.
So much sense.
So, and so important to be all the different things that you want to be and not just be in a box that you feel like society has put you in, and then like say okay to that.
Well, like the mental real estate it takes just to be a mom, it's all consuming. And so then we assume that everyone is looking at us thinking, oh, she's just a mom or something. Right. Yeah, I see that. I can see how that's a narrative we spin mm-hmm. in our own head for sure.
Because once you have a kid, like a piece of your brain breaks off and dies, and you're just like constantly aware of that part that's true. Gone. Mm-hmm.
Now that you are expecting your second, is there anything you would do differently? Callie and I talk about this. We were so hard on ourselves early on with a newborn, and I want to show myself more grace the second time around. Personally,
I want to sleep train earlier. Like, I failed that so yeah. hard.
I slept train so early.
You we nailed it. I want to talk offline about how you did it, because baby boy is a good sleeper.
Yeah, it's really something. It's like, even now, it's interesting to me. I talk to moms and I totally get it. They really struggle with bedtime and they can't get the kid to go down, and they're kind of like in there until 9. And I'm like, no, that stinker's in there at 7. And I'm like, bye.
Yeah, that's how we are too. Mine's still having a nap right now.
My husband asked me the other day, he's like, do you ever? And he was like really upset. And I was like, what? He's like, do you ever, when you like put him down, feel relieved? And I was like,
every day.
Every day, Barry.
Literally every day.
Yeah.
Literally every single day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, the biggest sigh of relief.
Yeah,
of
like, it's like, oh. Yeah.
I think what I would do differently is stuff, and not that I would do differently, that I think will just like naturally occur, is that first of all, there was nothing more terrifying than coming back from the hospital and being like, what the fuck is this? Like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
And also, like, again, the breastfeeding rigmarole is real. And like, you know, I had to talk to a lactation consultant because I felt so guilty. I didn't want to breastfeed, and she didn't help me breastfeed. She helped me get over the guilt of not doing it. And so I just have systems in place now that I'm excited to just like put into place, and like the things that I know that I liked, that he liked. And I understand that like a second baby could be different, but you know, I know that they'll have different personalities. I totally get that. But there's just something about yourself. Like, I will be different because I will. And do you also remember like feeling stressed and realizing that the baby was picking up on it? You're like,
yes,
oh my God, I feel that I'm worked up. And I just feel like I'm not going to be worked up. So I'm wondering if everybody talks about like, oh, the second was just so much easier. And you're like, yeah, maybe that's just because you're like chill as hell, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like I said, what my doctor said today, she's like, it's so funny. These people with first time kids are like, oh my God, I can't even take a shower. And you're like, just let it cry for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's like the sound of a baby crying just affects you less, is like heartless as that sounds. You're kind of like, so I know what this is.
Yeah. Well, cause there's this thing when you have your first and you hear them cry, it's like, I'd almost be like, oh my God, she's unhappy. She's going to be in therapy her whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she then you just realize,
I don't know. And then I realize they don't know anything.
Yeah.
And I still have to remind myself that. And I'm like, oh man, he must be bored because this side of the other. And I'm like, he doesn't know.
No,
has no idea. I think you're right though, too. Yeah. It's like when you have a calm environment, it's like your baby is calmer. I've heard stories about like, you know, a chaotic household and there's a lot of like yelling and then that baby's always crying. And it's like, well, let's everyone take a step down. And
yeah,
if you're calm, I do think your baby will, there's a chance. I won't say there will be, but I think there's a chance.
I also think like you're just better at troubleshooting when they are losing their shit. You kind of like know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe this. Cause like, it's always like the newborn. It's like, I don't know what you need. And it's like, sometimes there's nothing they need. They're just like, they haven't farted.
They have gas.
Yeah. Like you know, you have these insane witching hours, and I would bring them to a bar and order a frozen margarita.
Perfect. I like that move. I'm adopting
for me, not for him.
Yeah. 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 Just to clarify.
Clear.
Yeah, I did not give him margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All three of us started the whole baby making thing later in life. I hate when they say we're geriatric. That shit's so rude. But what would you say to all the people out there who might be feeling anxious about their biological clock?
Oh my God, I have a lot to say about that. I didn't meet my husband until I was 34. And I used to do all this math, and Hallie met her fucking husband when she was a zygote. I used to do all this math all the time about like, okay, well, and I did do this thing when I got out of my previous relationship. I was 33 and a half, let's call it. And I was kind of like, it might not happen for me. I just sort of was like, I did the math. I was like, okay, And I say this all the time, women who are 34 start doing math. And it's like, okay, I meet him and then I have to like date him for a couple of years. And then he has to like propose and then we have to get married. I mean, this is if you do the traditional route, which is not for everyone, but it was for me. And then by that point I'm 36. And if I want to have more than one, and then I just like met my husband 2 days or 3 days before I turned 34. And I got lucky, and that's all there is to it. I just got lucky and it worked out. And, you know, almost 2 years later, he proposed and then we got married 6 months later. And then I was pregnant on our honeymoon and, you know, now we're having our second, and I did miscarry, as we all fucking have apparently. but my mom miscarried when she was 29 as well. So, and then I also wanted to say this, that I used to really be like, I used to resent that we got sold egg freezing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think this is really shitty to professional women that like, we can afford to do this. And so you're selling us up at the river. And my mentality was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to do it naturally. Da, da, da. But now that I have friends that are like, all of my friends are doing it, you know, quote unquote, later in life. And it's harder for
it is.
People. Yeah. And I'm like a egg freezing proponent now. Like yeah. I sort of think like, look, if you have them, you have them. And if you don't need them, fine. But it's like 2 weeks of your life and just do it.
Yep.
If you can afford it, just do it. It worked out for a friend of mine that she was trying. And she had frozen them. She had like some 33-year-old eggs on ice. Amazing. And they made like a bunch of embryos with those. And so you just don't know. And I think I just was thinking about it the wrong way. I didn't think of it in as like, if I could do it naturally, I would do it naturally. Like, well, of course, but if it didn't work out, you want those young little eggies. I don't think go crazy. Like you don't need to be 30 and worried about it yet. But when you hit 33, like maybe stick some needles in your butt and like, just get her done.
Helene, I have to tell you, Katie started. I mean, she's like the woman who can do it all. She's an entertainment journalist who also on the side started an at-home like egg testing, like find out your fertility kits at home.
Oh my God, that's great.
So that's what I was going to say. It's like, if you don't have the means to like eventually freeze your eggs, but you kind of want to know where you're at, there's a technology that you can do that. You can check your AMH, you can check your full fertility. Yeah. And I think it's so important to do that early on, because a lot of people are having issues even in their early 30s. And for me, it's like, thank God Hallie and I froze eggs when we did. That's how she's pregnant now and how I have my current daughter. And then I ended up getting pregnant naturally. It's a whole story. But
I think that's really good advice.
Check in on yourself, like freeze your eggs, like it if you can have.
I didn't know what an AMH number was until I miscarried, and I was like, let me just check. I'm 38. Let me like see, because I at that point was like, I'm 38, and it happened very quickly for me the first time. But then I was like, let me just look into it. I just want to like see what the deal is. Mm-hmm. And I had some complications as a result of that miscarriage that took me down this other road. But like, I learned my AMH, and I didn't even know what that was. I feel like there's conversations around egg freezing, but not around general fertility. And so you don't really understand what it is you're being sold unless you go into a fucking consult and it's like, you know.
Yeah. I would say check your AMH early on just to sort of get like a visual of sorts of like what's going on with your body, because yeah, you can go
30, 31 and it's low, like, do a couple eggy rounds, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
By the time you're like 36, it's like a really different picture, yeah. Which I didn't understand or know.
Same. I think for all of us, I remember my first AMH read, I was like, it's what? Yeah. Like it was 0.3 or something crazy like that.
Right. And you want to be between 1 and 4, right?
Exactly. And then somehow now I'm pregnant, and mine was also vitamin D related, like a vitamin D deficiency. But everyone's story is different. Yeah, I know. Everyone's like story is different, because when I fixed that, my AMH went up to 1.2. It's a whole thing. Yeah. But I think people need to educate themselves, if anything, just to know, you know, you don't have to immediately jump into the egg freezing 20K down the road. Yeah. Yeah, there's other things that you can do. I feel like we started this podcast because we wanted to sort of provide a place where
women could come and feel seen in the good, the bad, the ugly of motherhood. We like to say motherhood is a sisterhood. So if you could kind of give all the mama sisters out there one piece of advice or encouragement right now, what would you say?
I'm going to say something that like I have been saying to myself recently. It's okay to want kids, but not babies.
I feel that so deeply. I even said, I was like, I do not like the newborn phase. I don't like it.
I don't like it. Even this toddler thing, he's not in school yet. He's still shitting his pants. Like I sat with him for every bite of dinner, teaching him how to use a fork. It's, you know, and I think moms of older kids could listen to this and be like, it gets hard. And I'm like, you're not carrying them or like physically wrestling them to put their shoes on or, you know, like I know that there are challenges elsewhere. I just sort of want to have conversations with somebody and be like, hey, do you want to share this pizza and like watch El Encanto with me, which I have not watched yet specifically so I could experience Pixar movies with my children for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Like I will not see Cars because I know I will see Cars so many times.
Yeah. I haven't seen Frozen yet. And everyone's like, what? And I was like, I know that day is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hear you.
Yeah. And I want to experience it for the first time with her. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And where they can feed themselves and it's not going all over the kitchen, at least.
Yeah. And you're not like throwing it and thinking that that's hilarious. And you're having to like bend over with your giant bulbous body to like pick up their thrown food. I'm just like, you know, and I said this to my doctor today. I was like, this fucking baby thing. I wanted kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to the day. I'm like, this is all like, they better love me and love being around me when they're older, because I'm doing all this in anticipation of having some like kick-ass family fun when they're adults, you know, like, just like looking forward to that.
I gotta say, I look at Hallie and I'm like, I wish Hallie was my mom. The way that you set up birthday parties and
I know
you melted crayons and
that shit was so stupid. Mold.
And I was like, I don't do anything like this. I was like, I got some Play-Doh, but all he understands about Play-Doh is like throwing the jars of Play-Doh.
I know. Helena, I'm doing it wrong. And I have to tell you, I've actually so many times since Dylan's first birthday have cited you and given your advice to other people, because after I threw this massive first birthday party for Dylan and I was embarrassed on that day. I was like, who is this actually for? Because she won't remember it. So what was I doing? This is a wedding. And I remember I was with you like 2 months before our babies turned one. And you were like, I am going to have a dinner party for the adults because we survived parenthood for the first year. I have a cake, a balloon, all the cute things for my baby. But, you know, like that's the way to do it. Like do something to celebrate. I threw
a dinner party.
Yeah. And like you did it right. You did it right.
I even look at two and I'm like, he still doesn't get it. So
yeah, exactly.
You are amazing. Hallie has given me lots of your advice to her throughout my past year journey, almost a year. Nice. So all good things coming out of her mouth.
Yeah. I do have to say, you know, you have been such a lifeline for me in motherhood. And I know I've told you that privately, but now that I have a platform to say it publicly, I just want to say there are women who kind of keep you afloat, and you are both two of those women. And we've conceived our babies a week apart from each other twice. So we've kind of rode the wave together. And when shit has felt really heavy, you've been such a safe, loving, like judgment-free space for me. And you've always like, you know, just helped me feel like whatever I'm feeling is valid. So I just want to say thank you. I think we all need more women like that. And that's why Katie and I did this. So thank you for being there the last 2 years and for showing up again today.